If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
All right. Friction in a relationship. Would you say that's a good thing or a bad thing? And is there friction in yours? You can text us 92925. So Katy Perry, as we know, has her first baby on the way with Orlando Bloom. And recently she was speaking out about her relationship with Orlando Bloom. And she says there is a lot of friction in there. But from her perspective, it's a good thing. Listen to this.
There's a lot of friction between my partner and I, but that friction breeds something beautiful. Like, it can breed a lot of light, you know? It's just one of those relationships. I don't know about anyone else that's listening, whatever kind of relationship they've had. I've had many, but it's like, we get down to the mat and we come back up every time.
We get down to the mat and we come back up every time. What do you think about what she's saying about friction in a relationship? From her perspective, it's a great thing.
It's interesting. I never associated what she's talking about with friction, but it's a good way to put it. I was never a friction guy before dating Josie, to be honest. I was a very happy-go-lucky guy. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. But because culturally we're so different.
I was just going to say, like, back up for a second when you say I was a happy-go-lucky guy. Don't bother me. Don't bother you. Is there a chance that means poor communication? You weren't maybe that great at, like, opening up and communicating.
Maybe. I was just in my comfort zone. I knew what made me happy. I wasn't willing to compromise on that. And so, the idea of friction in a relationship didn't really make sense to me. Like, if you let me be me, I'll let you be you, and we'll all get along. But because,
I can see how that could cause some issues.
Yeah, probably exactly. But I guess because culturally, Josie and I are so different, and we've had to sort of overcome a lot of, I guess, cultural differences, but we still have our best interests at heart. The friction always leads to us getting stronger at the end of the day and, you know, becoming more endearing with each other. I don't know if that's the case with everyone. I mean, it seems to work for us, but I think it's because we have our best interests at heart.
Friction in a relationship?
No, it doesn't work for me. I don't know. When I hear friction, I just feel like it's a negative word when it comes to relationships. And I think it's one thing to challenge each other and push each other, but when that causes friction every day, you can do those things without quote unquote friction. Like, imagine putting on your dating profile, looking for a friction filled relationship. Don't worry, I want to challenge you.
It would be realer than anything else we're seeing on these dating profiles. Let's be serious.
That might be a point.
Let's be real. For me, I get the friction. I see how it can be unhealthy. I see with it amongst unhealthy individuals, and I've been there before in an unhealthy relationship like that. And the thing is, the lows are really low.
Right.
That is like more than friction. And then the highs are so high. Like, those were the best moments that I've had in relationships. So as I'm getting older and as I reevaluate consistently, as I grow and think about what I want in a relationship, it is actually going to be important to me that we are able to go there, but that we have both evolved and are healthy in a way where we can resolve it, where we both come out stronger. Because I've also been in relationships where people were terrified of friction and terrified of those conversations. And I don't think in any aspect of our lives we get anywhere when we hide away from those.
When you're in the middle, like in the heat of it, you know, and you're facing the friction, it's important to identify that in a fight and to let your partner know that we're not just fighting for the sake of fighting. Like, this is healthy friction, you know?
We're only human though. I don't think that happens every single time.
I guess, but
I will tell you, and you can text us this morning at 92925. Somebody will call in and say they pretty consistently have that in their relationships and that they are soulmates and that they have the strongest relationship out of anybody that they know for that reason. I betcha we're going to get that call. You can text us 92925. Let me know what you think. Friction, good or bad in a relationship? This text says, more love, more friction. The bigger the love, the bigger it hurts. Where there's love, there's hate.
There's a lot of friction in my relationship, and I mean we're still together, so it's gotta work.
Promising. What's happening on the text line?
Someone says, it actually happened to me in my last relationship where my girlfriend had the expectation had expectations that I couldn't meet, and it brought friction because I was trying to be that person while ignoring who I really was. Now I'm with someone who understands me at my core, and we have friction at times, but never enough that it makes me doubt my own value as an individual. Yeah.
I'd say it would depend on what the friction is about. That's a really good point.
Exactly.
If it is something, absolutely.
You got to come out on top at the end of the day. You can't let the friction get the better of you.
Exactly. And it can't be stuff that is making someone feel horrible about who they are as a person and how they value themselves. That's not the type of friction I'm talking about. I'm thinking more like life values and morals, like those sort of conversations, you know, what is important or your perspective on different things, not what you look like, not that you're bad at everything you do.
And also who will empty the dishwasher. You know, these are also important things that can cause friction.
True, it's everyday things. This text says, there are things you can have friction about, but when the nature of the friction is inherently linked to your identity as a person, it becomes unhealthy. There's a difference between friction because a partner is stressed or doesn't know how to communicate it well, and friction because a partner doesn't understand you at your core. Mm-hmm. That's just a never-ending battle that we've probably all been part of, and it doesn't end well.
Yeah, not understanding isn't necessarily bad, though. It's not necessarily bad to have friction when you don't understand each other, because how else will you learn to understand each other? I think that's only normal, and that is, to me, that's a time where there should be friction. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel heard and you don't feel understood, the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, is keep stuffing that down.
Yeah.
All right, Emmy, what do you think? Friction in a relationship, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Short-term good, long-term bad.
Okay, so that's kind of like what I said, that if you don't learn how to work through it and grow through it, it can become an issue.
You could grow through it all you want, but if you keep friction, like you keep rubbing something, eventually it's going to wear away.
No, it's going to ignite.
It's going to start a fire.
No, that's a good thing. It's going to ignite like flames.
Is it?
Like love should be.
Before you go down in flames.
Well, I think I agree with that. Before you go down in flames.
Yeah. Really? Have you been in a relationship like this before?
I have. Mm-hmm. And short term, it's fun. It's cute to get your blood going. Long term,
How long is short term for you? I mean, we're talking like a few months, a couple of years into a relationship?
I would say a couple of years. After that, it's annoying.
It's annoying. I actually read that annoyance is a sign of a good relationship. I literally just read that.
And this was written by somebody who...
It's on Time.com. Time.com said, listen to this, Emmy. It said, there are times when it's fine, even good for partners to annoy each other. In other words, is it ever wise to welcome a little frustration into your relationship? I would say yes. They said that frustration is a good thing and relationship in a relationship and can cause growth.
And I have to ask, like, to quantify that, does that mean once a day, once a week, once a month?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It depends on how much your nerves can handle before you lose.
Exactly.
Once a day.
Exactly.
Every day.
Before you just snap. All right, Emmy, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. You put on a great show every morning.
Oh, thank you so much for listening. It means the world.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, so I was chatting with a friend yesterday. She lives in Calgary, and she told me that her daughter's school has told parents, number one, keep your kids home even if they have a slight cough or a runny nose at all, like any sign of illness.
Whoa.
And get this, any kids who have traveled outside of Canada, even to the U.S., have to stay home for 14 days after returning back to Canada because of COVID-19.
Man, oh man. If I was a kid in school and I found this out, I mean, guess who'd be faking a running nose?
How do you fake a runny nose, Sam?
I'll leave it up to me. I'll find a way if it means 2 weeks of no school.
Gross. So it's not happening here among like elementary schools yet.
Right.
Yet. They said that they're reviewing major events in the city. St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Montreal is without a St. Patrick's Day Parade.
I know. I think people will just show up there regardless. Even if they cancel the parade, there'll be people on the streets. The party doesn't stop for anyone.
Pat is there.
Just cheering at cars that are driving by or something.
All the green ones.
If you got sick right now, do you think because of COVID and because of people's fear right now, you'd be more likely to stay home like a little bit longer?
Yes, I would. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to do so. I mean, I can't just sort of up and leave you guys for a couple weeks
because
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, we can. I think I would. I mean, I just took the last 2 days off. And this time last year, I had a cold and I didn't have a great voice and I was with you guys and I didn't miss a day. But now, knowing the environment
you couldn't speak. It's kind of our job.
It was silly. But knowing the environment that we're in now, I thought it was smart. And it wasn't fair to you guys for me to come in not feeling the way I did. It's not fair to me and my immune system, and it's not fair to you guys either.
But if you were really worried that you had something that was more serious than a cough, it would take more than 2 days for it to pass. I mean, if you wanted to, like, sort of, you know, lower our chances, you'd have to stay away for a couple weeks.
I was kind of thinking like, hey, take a few more days, just because, not that I'm scared and I'm not like hysterical and I'm not paranoid and I'm not anxious about it, but just like right now, especially like you might as well.
Right.
And especially for other people's immune systems, if they already have a low immune system, you come in here with a little bug, whatever it is, it's only going to make it worse for them when it does come to COVID-19.
But I mean, who amongst us, especially during cold and flu season, hasn't come into work with a little bit of a cold or the remnants of a cold that we've gotten over.
Yeah.
We just do. It's just everybody does it in every workplace. You have a cold and maybe you have a lingering cough that sticks around for 2 weeks. You're coming into work.
Yeah. The last time I was sick, I was sick I guess like a month ago now, and that cough lasted for a long time.
There you go.
Yeah,
right?
You had that little nastiness then. Well, it did. It was like a few days. I didn't get over it till for a few weeks. Absolutely. Yeah.
Could you imagine we're just getting off a March break and all the kids that have traveled? If everyone had to stay home for 2 weeks, for those kids that have traveled, the schools would be empty.
Well, we've got a teacher, Becky, on the line this morning. Good morning, Becky. What do you think about this, specifically the school that I just mentioned in Calgary and their new rules?
I think it's a little bit ridiculous. As I mentioned before, we're not seeing that type of panic at my school at all. Mm-hmm. We were teaching. We had epidemic of influenza just after Christmas time, 120 plus kids absent a day. And kids were coming back the very next day, still sick. We had a severe gastro at the same time. Nobody panicked anything like this.
What are the higher ups sort of telling you in situations like this? Are they telling you it is good to encourage kids to stay home when they're a little bit sick? Or,
well, we are supposed to encourage them to stay home, but unfortunately, we aren't allowed to single them out and send them home for in any cases. I mean, even these days when we were kids, if you had head lice or something, you got sent home. These days, we're not even allowed to do that.
Stop it. Oh, my gosh.
No,
head
lice. You're not allowed.
I would said send Sam or Andy home so quickly if
I'd
they came in here with lice.
Yeah.
I'd volunteer myself.
All right. So basically, you're saying nobody's panicking and you're not seeing any panic amongst the students or kids either. Students or the parents either.
No, not even. There's not even that type of panic out here in the townships yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yet. I mean, panic does travel, but I think we're pretty isolated. And the fact that the city is so much more of a porthole for people traveling, we don't have those worries out here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Becky, thank you so much for taking the time for chatting with us this morning. And thanks for doing what you do as well.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. All right. We are getting some text saying there are some schools in Montreal that are asking kids who have traveled to high-risk countries, so not necessarily the U.S., to stay home.
Fair enough.
This text says, I work at a bank. We've been told to stay home for 14 days if we have flu-like symptoms.
Sweet.
So Andy did not stay home for 14 days. He stayed home for 2 days.
Yeah, you could have worn a surgical mask at least.
Something.
Would that be better or worse if I did?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Tell us about your doctor experience, though. This blew my mind. I had no idea.
Well, I couldn't get in to see a doctor. It was next to impossible. So I was just kind of online trying to figure something out, and something popped up. It was something called Maple.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an online doctor that I was able to see.
Where was this doctor located?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
In an undescript location.
Online, on the internet.
No.
I didn't ask him where you are.
I would definitely ask that.
Well,
there's probably different accreditation. Like, you could probably call yourself a doctor regardless of your education
I would assume he was in Canada because he wrote me a prescription. So I don't think you can just write a prescription for any old country.
That prescription.
He also asked to see my ID online. So we had a live chat. This doctor and I, Alex Huntington or something like that, was his name.
Oh,
and
weird.
He asked to see my symptoms. Then he asked me to take a picture of my throat, which is very difficult, by the
way.
Did he ask you for your social insurance number?
No, he did not. He did ask for an ID just to make sure I was a resident of Canada, but that was it.
I've never heard of this. Maybe a year from now, it'll become second nature and I'll be doing it all the time. But I did not know you could do that here.
I was so skeptical, but I looked online and the first thing I wanted to see was, is it legit? Mm. It is. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to see people's reviews, and there were mostly good reviews. Some people said that they misprescribed them, but go to any doctor who hasn't been
misprescribed. My doctor's never misprescribed me a medication. What did he diagnose you with anyway?
Something called, not laryngitis, but pharyngitis.
I don't even think that's something you're supposed to take antibiotics
pharyngitis,
for.
Pharyngitis, you mean, yeah.
Pharyngitis, yeah. Okay. Pharyngitis Centaur 1-2.
No, it's okay. You don't have to read stuff that you don't understand. But I'm not even sure if that's something that you're supposed to be taking a prescription for.
Well, he didn't say antibiotics, but he did give me penicillin.
That is an antibiotic.
Is it?
Oh, my God. See, this is a disaster.
Is it really?
Yes,
did you see the diploma hanging out behind his desk when you were talking to him online?
Of course, penicillin is an antibiotic.
And then two other things that I can't pronounce.
Okay. We'll see if Andy's still with us on Friday after he takes all of the medication he's been prescribed.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.